Hello and welcome to Econoday Unplugged on Tuesday, the 28th of March 2017. I'm Jeremy Hawkins here in London, and with me across the pond is Mark Pender, our resident US guru. So, Mark, let's kick things off. Financial markets have been honing on this idea of a loose fiscal policy and a tighter Fed stance ever since Donald Trump won the election. Yeah. After his problems with healthcare reform last week, does that view still hold?
Well, it may be a slower process than many think. The ability to get together a political program takes a lot of footwork. Ronald Reagan did a lot of footwork when he first came into office, and he had success. So I guess, I don't know, has the market overpriced confidence? Certainly we had consumer confidence this morning is through the roof, but it hasn't yet correlated to actual spending. Now,
was there any particular reason why it went up so sharply? Do we know any of the background to this?
Sure. Wide strength, including a much improved assessment of the jobs market, which is a big plus for the March employment report. And employment has been the strongest feature of the U.S. economic data. So this points to more of the same. But there's no inflation expectations. They're going down. So people, I guess, aren't thinking they're going to get higher wages. But these confidence readings and many of perhaps of the regional advanced factory reports are maybe showing a sentiment that has yet to pan out. Now, in Europe, how has consumer confidence done?
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, we can't say it's quite as, you know, the improvement we've seen here is as sharp as yours, but it's a similar sort of pattern in the sense that, you know, if you put a straight line through it, consumer confidence in the Eurozone, at least, has been improving for the best part of a year, if not more than that now. However, if you look at the retail sales, well, they've fallen in, what, 4 or 5 of the last 6 months. So you appear to have this kind of divorce between what the soft data are saying and what the hard data are saying.
Well, what we saw here was a gigantic spike related directly in November following the election. Now, the consumer sentiment report here breaks down, has a long-standing Democrat and Republican component or special index. And these indexes are at the farthest extremes in the history of the report. So there's lots of optimism among Republicans, lots of pessimism among Democrats. The independents are the swing. They're the small group, but they're optimistic. Do you see in Europe a post-US election pinned down in November spike in confidence surveys, whether consumer or business?
Well, we certainly did see some improvement in the confidence indicators immediately after the election. And I think over here, again, the idea was that, well, if this means a looser fiscal policy, that's going to be good news for Europe. And European domestic demand is too weak. So anything which comes in from the US side has got to be positive. So we did see at least a small spike, but it's got to be said it's kind of petered out over the course of the last few months or so. But yes, there was definitely some kind of knock-on effect.
Well, ours have sustained and are now pressing to today's conference report. You have to go back to the prior economic cycle, the 1991 to 2001 10-year cycle. And that's the last time you saw any kind of ratings in this category. And I remember back then with these readings, we got a 125.6 today. And when the 120s disappeared and then finally the 100s disappeared, this is over a long period of time, the idea of these consumer confidence reports kind of all backed off. So I guess we haven't had as much enthusiasm, at least from part of the public. But again, it has to still pan out. We have first quarter GDP components are coming in, and they were supportive this morning with a build in wholesale and retail inventories. But that's a two-sided sword. What's good for a GDP calculation, which is inventory accumulation, isn't really good if your sales aren't so great and your inventories are piling up. And we had an advanced trade report that showed a narrowing in the deficit for February, but it follows a big one in January, and it shows continued weakness in exports. So, and the consumer hasn't talking big, but it hasn't been spending big. So the economy really is just kind of sitting around in the general 1.5-2% growth range.
Okay. So we've got your side anyway. You've got the strength of consumer confidence. Is that being mirrored in sort of, you know, the softer survey data of industry and services as well? Or is it kind of a consumer, in theory, out on a limb?
No, it's being confirmed by unusually strong readings in advanced regional Federal Reserve reports and also private reports. These reports are showing incredible, these reports like the Philly Fed go back 50 years. And some of these scores you can't find in the history of this report. So the question is, are there Republicans on the sample panels for the regional feds? Now, I guess to a certain degree, business is a Republican, especially these are executives. These are top people at the different firms answering these anecdotal, friendly kind of questions, voluntarily. And so maybe I think you're getting some sentiment, you're getting some Republican sentiment seeping into these regional reports, but they don't break it down like the consumer sentiment report between their political affiliation. So that is just an assumption. But in any case, these advanced reports, if they do nothing else, they can give us a directional shift. They may not be able to tell us by what magnitude we're going up, but they're definitely saying we're going up. But we really haven't even seen the up part yet.
Right. I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, within Europe, the purchasing managers surveys, and particularly the likes of the flash ones we had for March, last Friday, they're some of the most important indicators we get now during the course of the month. And markets will use those flash PMIs, and particularly the composite output index, as a pretty strong leading indicator of what's going to happen to GDP during the month. Clearly, we don't get monthly GDP numbers here, but the markets will use these PMI or flash PMI data with a view to constructing the quarterly data. If it really is the case, we're starting to see some kind of decoupling relationship between the two now. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see that how markets going to start looking elsewhere to find out, well, what else are we going to use to try and get an early handle on the GDP itself?
Well, it's not only markets. It's as you're implying, it's the European policymakers are also referring to these samples. Now, these are small samples. Go read the definition, everybody. It's just a few hundred people. And they actually ask you if you want to participate, right? So this is not a terribly rigorous, this is, a diffusion index. This is people just answering more, the same, or less on a series of questions of month-to-month change. And it should not, I don't know, to base macroeconomic policy on it just seems a little bit too much. They're designed really just to give you a little bit of a glimpse on the government data that follow a few weeks later. So these are just like advanced little snapshots, and they're getting a lot of play.
And I think that's exactly right. And it really comes down to the crux of the issue, I think, is the timeliness of the data. As we all know, that the big problem for the policymakers, wherever you sit, is that the hard data tend to come out so late that you're always looking through your rear window to try and work out where you are. You never actually know what's happening now. Whereas the PMIs, particular flash ones, essentially are out in real time. And so it gives the policymakers some kind of handle. And to be fair, I must say to the actual PMI surveys across Europe, if you look at the correlation between the composite output index, let's say for the Eurozone, and Eurozone GDP, over, let's say, the last 10, 15 years or so, it's actually been remarkably good at tracking where GDP is going.
Yes, but what they do here for the U.S. side is they'll have benchmark revisions and things like this, not to the data, but to the seasonal adjustment of the data. So they can fit the data on the seasonal adjustments to make it look like it worked all along. There is an element or a degree of that here, or there has been. Do you think that could be shading or fudging the correlation?
It's certainly possible. We all know when it comes to seasonal adjustment, no one ever knows exactly what the true seasonal adjustment is. By definition, it has to be an estimate, but perhaps there may be something in that. I don't know.
The proportions of the composite. And, market economics doesn't post the details, the component numbers. I guess those are just for subscribers, but we don't get them here. Do you ever see in what new orders, the actual number for new orders is? We just see what is a composite. Is that right?
That's correct. That's on a subscription basis, but they do give a reasonably detailed breakdown of what's going on within the European numbers, and certainly as far as the flash Eurozone PMI is concerned, they do, although they don't actually provide the numbers per se unless you subscribe, they do give you a good indication of what's going on.
So then they build up those pieces of those reports and adjust and add adjustments to them to come up with you know, what they need to show. I hate to be that silent.
Not that you are cynical, of course.
You never know. And so, like, from my point of view, I once made a graph with ADP's numbers versus the Bureau of Labor Statistics private payrolls numbers. But then I realized, of course, it's going to perfectly match because ADP is constantly, who's done very well, by the way, this year, is called the two employment reports this year, which were way outsiders and nailed them both. But in any case, they're always adjusting and fiddling around with their numbers. So you're always, if you do a graph, you're always going to match up. So that's just want to add that.
Okay. Well, I suppose before we finish off all together, we touch upon anything else important that's coming out. I think over here, I should obviously mention tomorrow at long last, we get Mrs. May pressing the Brexit button, which really doesn't actually mean a great deal because nothing's going to happen immediately. We still don't have any idea what the final trade deal is going to look like, even assuming that there is one in the first place. So don't expect any sort of early fireworks, but it is mean that clearly sterling is going to be susceptible to, well, the inevitable swings and roundabouts, I suppose, of what will be a very complex, contentious period of negotiations over the next couple of years. For the euro, a couple of big numbers this week I should just quickly mention. Europe and other soft surveys will get the economic sentiment index out of the European Commission. That's not just important because the headline number tends to give you a pretty good idea about GDP trends, but also in particularly the inflation components there, with clearly the ECB wanting to see some kind of pickup in core inflation. And with regards to that, we'll get the flash measure for HICP inflation for the Eurozone on Friday. As expected to see a fall in the headline, again, all price factors being the dominant thing there. But what happens to the core rates will be as important as anything else.
Well, we have here on Friday is the PCE price index, and we're expecting that to go to a 2 point. The Conaday consensus is for 2/10 rise at 2.1%, which will be over the Fed's target. But the core rate, like you were saying here, is flat. 1.7 is the expectation there. But what's very interesting in this report on Friday will be the consumer spending component for February, and the prior was 0.2%, which is pretty soft, very soft. And another 0.2% is the expectations. And this will make for a fine contrast with today's consumer confidence report.
Okay, well, I guess we should kind of round it off there. Even if you don't believe the numbers, they're still out there and we have to watch them. So I guess we'll finish it, not least because if I had to participate next week, I need to pop out and get the wife a birthday present. Otherwise, I won't be around. So on behalf of Mark and the rest of the Conaday team, thanks a lot for listening. Happy trading, and we look forward to speaking to you again next time. Bye for now.